What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Welcome to Love in Sight, or welcome back, we hope, to Love in Sight. You have subscribed to the series. This is the official podcast from the official Kinetic Content iHeartMedia joint venture that will cover every little detail. Every question you may have will be examined. It'll be a deep dive into the global phenomenon that is Love in Sight. That is Love is Blind. I am here. I'm Matt Money Smith, by the way. To my right, more importantly, once again, is Giannina, or G. I feel like we're now all right. We're good.
We're now friends.
Exactly. We're now friends, and I can call you G. But we're going to get deep into episode one. If you missed episode one of our podcast, we didn't talk about episode one of Love is Blind all that much. We kind of got into your backstory, shared how you found yourself on the show Love is Blind. But for this one, are you ready? We're getting right into it. This is the episode one of Love is Blind rundown.
Wow, let's do it, money.
Okay, here we go. One, you walk in the door. You're the first face we see.
Uh-huh.
Door opens, it's you. What were you girls talking about? How much time did you have together before you get to the pods to kind of get to know one another?
We had, I think, a couple of hours in total. And I think we were just kind of looking at each other's outfits and just trying to get each other's like feel for one another. And everyone was just like super giddy, super excited, not knowing what to expect. So it was very,
what about competitive spirit? Did you feel like, hey, all right, I'm the best looking one in here. So I feel good about myself. Like, were you measuring the other girls up?
I thought everyone was beautiful. I was never like, oh, I'm the cutest one. Like, no, I was like, oh my God, they're all so beautiful. Like, how am I ever going to measure up?
Now, did that plant maybe kind of a seed in your brain of, wow, all the girls are attractive. So I'm guessing all the guys are probably attractive too.
Yeah. So I was hoping that was the case because, you know, maybe it was like a Beauty and the Beast kind of thing that was going on and we didn't know about it, but I was like, okay, everyone here is, you know, very attractive, very outgoing. I'm sure that if they really want us to fall in love, they're going to kind of match us. So that was comforting.
Right. I mentioned it. We mentioned it. You brought it up in the last episode of the podcast. You do have roommates.
Yes.
And you had two.
Yes.
So you ended up with Lauren.
Yes.
But you started with
Lexi.
Lexi. So share with us kind of why did you switch roommates and what was it like being with a roommate? Do you have a roommate? Had you slept in the same room as someone regularly for a while? Was that weird?
No, I mean, I thought it was really fun. I lived with a couple girls a couple years prior. I had two roommates myself. Okay. So I was just like, oh, I'm back in that whole environment.
Did you stay up all night talking?
We stayed up all night talking, just like, what do you think his face is going to look like? Well, I don't know. And we, you know, we would always just kind of share stories and kind of share insight of, oh, like I heard this about Damien, or I heard this about Cameron, or, you know, Wesley. And it was just a very fun.
Who got the worst rap? Who got the worst rap straight out the gate? Like, stay away. This guy is the worst. Was there like one?
John.
John. We brought him up in the last episode as well.
Yeah.
So, like, not a single person came back and was like, you know what? There's this guy, John, that I'm kind of feeling.
Not a single soul.
Okay. So, John's out. I've got a million questions.
Yes.
All right, I want to get right into them. Mm-hmm. Short guy Wesley.
Love him.
That's all we know about him, mm-hmm. is that he was short guy Wesley. Mm-hmm. How tall was he? Did you ever get a chance to meet him or no?
I got a chance to meet him after we wrapped and okay. we all kind of got
together.
Is he
like 5'1"? Is he 5'3"? Is he shorter than you?
Yeah, he's shorter than me. I think he hits like my nose probably.
And you're 5'8"?
I'm 5'7".
5'7". Okay, so yeah. he is super short guy Wesley.
I guess that's what he calls super short.
I mean, that's what he said. He's yeah. like, I'm here to see if people, you know, women mm-hmm. don't go for short guys. I'm a short guy. So he disappears. Were you surprised? How about this? Did you have any conversation with him in the pods?
Yeah. He was just very open, shared a lot about his like family, and him and Lexi had a great connection because they both had, I think like the same like religious beliefs and things like that. So they kind of bonded in that.
Yeah, that was one of the weird things in episode one. Like the how fast that Jessica and Mark connected just mm-hmm. because they were both Chicago people. Like that was kind of the foundation of their relationship. She's like, I'm from Chicago, and that was it.
Right.
It was on.
Right. It's like, oh, you too? Okay, let's date. Well, I think they just picked fun moments to show between the couples, but there were definitely a lot of in-depth conversations that took place very long, like hours.
So from that episode one, I mean, we got a lot yeah. out of the first episode of Love is Blind. So give us an idea, like how long were you in a pod with Damien? For the longest, can you stay in there as long as you want? Is there a timer? Like, how does all that work?
Yeah, so there's a time frame on there. You could definitely, you know, lose all sense of time. I lost all sense of time and space in there. So it felt like I was in there for a year. But really, it was just a couple of days.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And is that because you're developing relationships and you're like, how is it that I've gotten to know these people so well? Or I'm 100%. Making it. Is that that's what it was?
Yeah.
It was more emotional.
So emotional. There were so many transformations that happen in there within people themselves. And while you're finding a partner, it was a very transformative like experience. It's a social experiment, true and true.
Speaking of a social experiment, it is regularly said that alcohol is the lubricant to conversation. Mm. It seemed like there was a lot of alcohol in there. did you feel like that was something that a lot of people used? Do you feel like, you know what, I'm going to take have a pop or something like that, and
yeah.
that kind of loosen things up a little bit?
Take a little shot. Take the edge off.
Is that what everybody was doing?
I guess, I don't know if everyone was doing it. I had a glass of wine
right.
here and there. I stopped drinking after the third day. But it's just kind of like a normal date. If you go and you have dinner with someone, you order a bottle of wine and you kind of just hang out and talk that way. Some people were always with their glass of wine.
Right. Yes. Jessica, she drank it all.
Oh,
she drank everything. Was she drunk the entire time?
I didn't notice that she was drunk the entire time.
But if you had to guess.
I mean, we all cope our own different ways.
We do. Listen, this is the Love Insight podcast,
yeah,
so
yeah.
we're getting the insight here.
Get it in.
And I understand. Was it claustrophobic? Was it uncomfortable?
It could definitely get that way. You walk in and you're in this like tiny little lounge space with like this little couch and a little bar cart and like a bunch of cameras everywhere and like this frozen blue wall just kind of, you know, keeping you in a trance. And it
looked like a confessional booth.
It was 100% a confessional booth. It was the most therapeutic experience I've ever had in my life.
Really? Did you like mm-hmm. being in the pod?
I loved it.
You did?
It felt like I was kind of, I don't want to say in jail, but it was like you're confined, but it felt so free.
Well, we'll find out if you're alone in that sentiment or if others will join you. Because by the way, a little bit later in this very pod, we're going to talk to Rory.
Yay!
So let's get to Rory, because Rory is someone who is, you know, he is a moon that is orbiting this planet that
yeah.
is Love is Blind.
Yep.
We know a little bit about him. We mm-hmm. saw his name flash on the screen. Mm-hmm. We see more conversations with Rory with the guys mm-hmm. because he's kind of like their amateur psychologist
yeah.
than with the girls. What can you tell us about Rory?
Rory is that friend that you can just tell your whole life to, and he will never judge you. He will listen to every single word, and he will probably give you the best advice you've ever had in your life. And it's just such a nice, he's such a fun, lighthearted person, but you can tell he takes all of that in himself. And
did you experience that in the pod?
He was the first person I cried with in the pods.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How many people did you cry with in the pods?
I would say maybe like three. It was definitely Damien, Rory, and I think I cried with Barnett.
How do you cry with Barnett?
Out of anger. Like, I spoke with him, and I was just like, you have to let your walls down, man. And he was like, I can't. And I told him, I was like, on the count of three, we're going to yell. And one, two, three, and we just yelled. And it was just like this very, again,
Did you make Barnett cry?
I think he kind of shed a tear.
You think so? I don't think anybody else made Barnett cry.
Well, I don't know if I made him cry, but I think I let him release.
It seemed like through the course of the first episode that Barnett was the most popular guy. And I don't know if that's just because he probably got the most screen time, but you saw a connection mm-hmm. with he and Jessica. You saw an immediate connection with he and Amber, an mm-hmm. immediate connection with he and Elsie. And then, of course, you see the conversation mm-hmm. back in your living quarters with all of them kind of like side-eyeing each other because right. everyone's bringing up the name with Barnett. Did you feel that way? Was he the quickest connection you made?
Yeah, for sure. He was my first date. So as soon as I went in there, we spoke and we laughed and we just kind of shoot the And he was just such an easy guy to get along with. And I went out of the pod and I was like, this is it. I don't even have to look any further. This is my guy.
So did that set other... Do you feel like that maybe set you back a little bit? That
no.
kind of... So was it almost like a race where, hey, so the race has now started. Barnett's in the lead.
Uh-huh.
And now you're seeing whether or not anyone can overtake him as you go through these,
right.
these pod dates. Or did it work itself out where Barnett started to wear on you a little bit and it was like, hey, that was nice at first, but I'm
exactly.
over it.
Yeah.
That is what happened.
Yeah, it was more of like this infatuation and such a fun guy. And then afterwards it was like, well, I need to have a real conversation with you. And it just we just kind of dwindled on each other, I think.
Right.
Just because it's not meant to be.
All right, I got a million questions.
Go
because
for it.
Again, this first episode is the one. Who is the girl with the long black hair that it looks like maybe Rory was with her?
Danielle Druin.
Okay, so who is Danielle?
Oh my gosh, she's my spirit animal.
She's your spirit?
Yes.
You have another human as a spirit animal?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, she calls me her wise owl.
Okay.
Which
could be a spirit animal, a wise
yeah,
owl.
Yeah, so we kind of saw that in each other. I think I saw her as like my lioness.
Okay, there you go.
She's just such a calm and like sensual, just like light. She and Rory got engaged.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to get that from Rory when he calls in.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get Rory. So
they had a whole love story.
And we'll get the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
We will get every last detail. Okay, so let's put a bookmark there because that's going to come up later in this pod. Rory's going to join us. And what's her name? Her name is
Danielle.
Danielle.
Drew.
All right, so mm-hmm. we're going to get into Danielle and Rory. And then let's see, there's Ebony, we talked about.
Uh-huh.
Ebony was the girl who said it's the size of the wave, not the motion of the ocean. That's all we know. Can you share anything else about her that you remember?
She was really just fun, but at the end, I didn't speak to her so much, but really cute, makeup artist, had good style.
Okay, nothing interesting, though, worth sharing here. How about Allie the nurse? Was Allie the nurse interesting at all?
Oh my God, Allie's the best.
Okay, why is Allie the best? What would people that are listening right now that got to see Allie the nurse, 31, I think, does that sound right?
Yeah.
I think Allie was 31. What
uh-huh.
do we need to know about Allie the nurse?
Allie is an outspoken, knows what she wants, won't ever back down, will get you what you want.
Okay.
And
what does
yeah.
that mean?
She,
like anything? Like did she smuggle cigarettes into the pod or something like that?
I mean, kinda.
Oh, really? Okay. All right.
If you want, you can get
I'm
her out and she'll.
Okay,
she'll
I'm following.
Tell you.
I'm following. Did she make a connection at all?
No, she did not.
Not a one.
No.
Like came out of the pod. Were there, how many girls would you say came out of pods and were like, not happening?
I think it was 50-50.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Were you did like any of them want you to try to say, hey, what about this guy? You know what? I had a conversation with Carlton, or
right.
I had this conversation with Taylor the Virgin. He might be good for you. We're gonna get to Taylor the Virgin in a minute. That poor guy.
I know. It was more of like I created friendships.
Okay.
But it wasn't a romantic endeavor for half the girls there.
Okay, how about four times a day having sex, Lily May? What can you tell us about Lily May, who said she was having sex four times a day?
Dang, girl, you got going on. Lily May, again, I didn't speak with her so much.
Okay,
but
that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. We already got to Wesley. What about the guy, and I don't know who it was. Maybe someone in here can help me out. The guy who we see in episode one, and the only thing we get from him is in the pod, he asked the person on the other side, all right, I'm into girls that are in shape and good looking. And John. That was John. All right. Oh, that's the same guy.
That's the same guy. Oh, God, it's so funny that he's so memorable. He was in there for like 2 days.
That's what I mean. Well, all we saw was that. And then the other part where I think you sound like an African-American.
Yeah.
Was there with Lauren. Yeah. So that's John. All right. Let's do it now. Let's do Taylor. Super preppy frat guy looking Taylor.
Yeah.
Right. Wearing the blazer, side part. Did you have any dates with him?
Yes.
Okay.
You lots.
Had a, oh, wow.
Lots of dates.
You
with
were
Tay.
Into Taylor.
Taylor was someone that I connected with on like an artistic level. He's a photographer. And I think we were just really great friends.
Did any of the guys, because, you know, not every, and it was weird the way they were kind of labeled, like, you know, Barnett, it says engineer. And mm-hmm. I'm like, engineer? Is he like a mechanical engineer? Is he a chemical engineer? And then I was like, no, I think he might just be in construction, and like he's a structural engineer or something like that, and he's going to tell you whether or not your house is going to fall over.
Yeah.
Was there any, were there, you mentioned you and Taylor, and he was asking you what you liked in bed and stuff. Mm-hmm. How often did that happen? Did you guys get
once. It? And he answered horribly when I asked him how he would, what he would do if we like went out on a date or how he would kiss me. I forgot the actual question, but he was just very invasive for me. And I was like, I need someone that's more respectful and isn't talking about...
Oh, he like full on started talking dirty, like dirty sex talk kind of stuff.
A little bit. Yeah. I think I was just, I'm very picky about who I let into my life. So I was like, if you're not going to treat me with respect, someone that you potentially want to marry, like how have you been with all other women? Like, do you objectify us? And I don't want to say that he did. But I think it was all in perfect timing where I asked him and Damien kind of the same question and Damien just answered beautifully.
Right. And Barnett did not.
Taylor did not.
Taylor, I'm sorry. So what about sharing your feelings about what happens in the pods with other girls and then recognizing that they're having similar experiences? We saw that mm-hmm. in the first episode, specifically with Barnett. Was that pretty common? Because it seems like you're supposed to mm-hmm. open up. You're supposed to be vulnerable, mm-hmm. Try to make this connection with this person. Was it weird? Did it feel like you were cheating on, or they were cheating on you or something like that when you found out that they were having kind of extended conversations with other girls?
I didn't feel like we were cheating. I think we were just being so open and we wanted to be able to, I guess, like, know the tea in a sense, where it's like, okay, so he's into you. Well, he's also into me, but how do you guys connect? And I think the girls specifically really created this open dialogue within each other because we didn't want to get played. We didn't want to, I don't know, we didn't want to feel like we were being led on. And so it's like, hey, like, I really like him and he really likes me too. Oh, well, like, I feel like a good connection with him too. So can we talk about it? Like, because at the end of the day, I want what's best for you. No, I want what's best for you. So it was a very good way of going about it. I don't know how it ended up.
Who was the first one that came in that was like in the first episode, we see Lauren and Cameron like get yeah. full on engaged. Who yeah. was the first girl that came back that was like, I'm getting engaged, or like was maybe like selling it like it was you?
It was me.
With Damien?
With Dame.
You were the first person that came in. Then what was the reaction like mm-hmm. from the other girls?
So after, and you saw the episode, after like I opened up to him and I said, you know, I have my flaws. And he was like, I'll take that and I love you for it. I literally ran out of the pods, threw my notebook on the ground, came into the lounge crying and was like, I found him. And all the girls just kind of like came over me and like started giving me hugs. And
all right, bookmark, stop, because we're going to save that for another episode. Okay. So you got to subscribe. We'll get to the rest of that because that we're jumping ahead. So let's go to Lauren and Cameron because yeah. they're the two that get engaged in this episode. Did you see that coming? How soon did you know it was coming?
So as soon as Lauren stopped going on dates with other people, that's it. I knew she was getting
engaged. Okay, so mm-hmm. did you ever go on a date with Cameron?
Yeah.
What did you think of Cameron?
I thought he was such a calm, intellectual soul. And I was able to talk to him about, I guess, like knowledge in a sense of how I was interpreting signals with Damien or with, you know, what was going on in the pods. And I was going through like this period of self-awareness while I was in there. And he was really able to just kind of like talk me down the ledge. I went through an epiphany and he just helped me kind of like dissect it and make sure that it was, you know, not a crazy thing that it was happening, but it was just more of like the self-awareness thing.
That's a good little nugget there. Did you ever talk to other guys about other guys?
Yeah.
like trying to get dirt on him? Like what?
And
were they cool with it? Like doing recon, tell me what you think of this person kind of stuff? Did you do that with all the guys about Damien?
No, I think they kind of... So when I said I picked Damien, I think it's word kind of spread. And guys on my next dates were like, so I heard you picked someone. And I was like, I did. And
but like you wouldn't say to Cam, hey, tell me about Damien. Or well, Barnett, what can you tell me about Damien?
Well, they would be like, so I heard like you picked someone. And I was like, yeah. He was like, well, he's such a sweet guy. He's like all about you. So they would just kind of innately tell me. And then I think the person that I confided in with the most was Rory, where I was just like, hey, like, tell me what's going on over there. Is this still, you know, am I feeling the same thing that he is? And he was just very reassuring.
So we saw it in episode one, and that is a perfect place to take a break, because when we return after this short little message, Rory is going to join us.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.
All right, we're back on Love Insight and Love Insight. And remember, we ask for Pod Talk, you, our listeners, to submit your questions you want answered on our official Love is Blind podcast. This one comes from Casey.
Hi, this is Casey. First of all, huge fan of the show, but I just have one thing to say. Justice for Rory. Where's his edit? He was clearly the counselor. Everybody loved him. He took such good care of everybody. Where's he in all of this? I want to hear his story.
All right, Rory. So let's get to know you. Number one, why were you a plant? Come on.
You know, I've always dreamt of being a human, and I just thought if I could look like one, then eventually people would accept me for not being a plant, you know?
You were all over the first episode, and you were like the go-to for everybody. G was just sharing with us how she confided in you and stuff. So obviously, everybody thinks you were a plant. So kind of share with us how you got on the show, what you were doing there, and why we only saw you for one episode.
Sure. So I got on the show, the casting agents reached out to me, I think towards the end of the process. I was one of the last few contestants added. I think I only had like a month prior before kind of going into the facility. And then I was there, you know, I told them no a couple times, like two times, because it just didn't seem like me. It was kind of radical and kind of out there. And I was like, I don't know if this is something I want to do, but it just, anytime I wanted to say no, I kept being brought back to it, right? I was like, this is really interesting. I feel like I have to do this just to see. And, you know, I was single at the time. I'm single now. And it's like, you know, if this is actually something that works out, you know, even if it's a low chance, whatever, I mean, then that's it, right? That's all that matters. And so I kind of went on a show that way. And the reason that, you know, I didn't get a whole lot of airtime there was mostly just because, you know, you think about it, Netflix as a publisher, you only had 10 episodes to work with, and that had to, you know, accompany probably 300 episodes worth of content. So they had to make some tough choices on what content they could show and whatnot. And it made the most sense to focus on the people that continued on, right? And the people that didn't get that as much time, right?
Yeah, but there was so much of you. That's what's so strange about it. Like in the first episode, you are clearly, it seemed like to some degree, the alpha of the male facility. Is that fair to say? It seemed like you were sort of their leader.
I don't know if we had a leader, but I was definitely the rock for over half the cast. In that, you know, when they had some part of their, you know, their psyche kind of unveiled, or they were confused or lost or overwhelmed or having a panic attack, most of the time, I was the person that either I found them because I could feel that they were having troubles, or they found me. But it was just, you know, it's like a, hey, I'm confused. This is a lot. Can someone help me process this? And that's kind of the role that I fell into.
How did you handle that? And this is G. Worry. Hi.
Hey, G.
Hi. I miss you. How did you handle like all of our emotions plus the ones that you were feeling with Danielle?
So it wasn't easy. And it's something that kind of overwhelmed me quite a lot throughout the process. I mean, towards the end of it, I was crying so much just because, you know, I was kind of trying to shoulder the burden of everybody, because I was really worried that, you know, people like Burnett or whatever, they were going to get close, but they were going to stumble on the last hurdle and then not get where they wanted to go. And I was really worried about that. But, you know, it's always been my style to kind of just be the natural leader, the one who makes sure that no man left behind or no woman left behind kind of thing. So it was hard. It was very stressful. It took a lot out of me, as it did everybody else on the cast. But, you know, it was more important to me that everyone made it.
Who is Danielle and what happened?
So Danielle, she was the first pod I went into on the first day, and we had an instant connection. And so we were each other's number one throughout the whole 10-day process. And she actually ended up vibing a lot with another contestant, Matt, not Barnett, but Matt Thomas, who we were actually best friends on the show. We were really close the whole way through. And I think that she was kind of deciding between us. And when I proposed, she said yes, but, you know, as when we got engaged, we were fiancés after the show, because we didn't get followed by cameras afterwards. That actually kind of dissolved about a week or two after, and she ended up going to date with Matt.
So did you propose to her because you thought Matt might beat you to it?
See, shush.
Down, boy.
So it's not actually – it's my baby girl. She wants to too. I am a little atypical in that way, and that I've never really – wanted to be part of the whole fighting for affection process, because at the end of the day, to me, it's two people there, right? It's not like Danielle is a security camera looking left or right and we have to force it to turn one way, right? Like, she's a person that has feelings and a decision that she can make. So it's like, I've always been in the camp of, let me shoot my shot, and if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I'm not going to worry too much about trying to convince someone, right? I proposed because I was ready. You know, it's one of those things where, like, we had this great connection, and I was ready to kind of settle down and do all that. So for me, on my side, it was 100% just, let's do this.
Did Matt ever open up to you and say, hey, like, I want to be with Danielle?
No. So he was pretty quiet about it most of the time. And I think a couple of the guys were, you know, like, people talk about how Cameron and Lauren were so perfect, but most of the time they were really quiet, yeah. Especially Cameron on the guy side. He didn't talk much about her. So some of the guys played their emotions close to the chest on who they were really connecting with. And I didn't know about Matt until probably like day 9, as far as like the fact that he was that into Danielle.
Did you, it seemed like you maybe played a little bit of peacemaker with Mark and Barnett with the Jessica thing. Did that get a little like weird on the guy's side? Cause it seemed like that was maybe the one that was sort of a crossover.
So Barnett and Mark were probably the biggest tussle. And then Matt and I were definitely going over Danielle. And then Taylor kind of got involved in, and G can attest this too, but involved in the G and Nina triangle with Damien. And then also Taylor was also pretty involved with Jessica as well. So I think that was kind of like the big question, is like where everyone was going to land. And I think that's why I ended up with so many scenes with Barnett, is that he was kind of tussling with the thought of like, who am I supposed to pick here? Who am I actually feeling? What is, you know, like a fling, and what's actually real? And he's trying to process through all that. And I think that's kind of expected, right? Like, if you get 15 people on each side together for 10 days and say, hey, you know, some of us are making connections, some aren't, make the decision. I think there was definitely, you know, some fighting. And I think it was fine until the very end, and you could actually feel the energy on the day 9, day 10. A lot of us were kind of playing quiet, playing close to the chest, as it was starting to get a little bit more competitive.
Why, you mentioned you proposed, you got engaged to Danielle. So why did we not see you? You mentioned, you know, you got 300 episodes worth for 10, but what do you think led to you not going as one of the 6 couples that did get to go?
That's the eternal question, I think, because obviously myself and Danielle got engaged, and then two others, Wesley and Lexi, got engaged. And so they had basically set up for five couples, bandwidth wise, right? So the amount of, you know, they have to have cameras for everybody. They have to have, I mean, it's just a huge budget, right? And so they kind of had to pick and choose which couples they thought were going to be the ones. And, you know, you don't always have an answer there. So I kind of have empathy for them in that decision process of who do we cut, who do we not. The fact that Danielle and I didn't last long outside of it tells me that maybe they saw that she was having a better connection with Matt. Because you think about it, as a contestant on the show, you only get to see your dates, right? You don't know what's going on in any of the other dates. And so you don't know how connected they are or how they're like, what kind of bond they have. And so I was like, maybe they saw something I didn't.
So do you think that if they would have picked you as, you know, some of the final couples, you would have ended up marrying Danielle?
I don't know.
Right.
It's a great question. I don't have an answer for that because she's the one that broke it off when we left the show. So it wasn't, you know, it's one of those things like it's hard to say. You'd have to ask her.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.
So it almost feels like a college athlete where you're in college and you get everything taken care of, right? They walk you to class, you get all your meals, they take care of your washing your clothes, and then all of a sudden you graduate and you just you get spit out if you don't get drafted, and you almost don't know what to do. You're just kind of walking in circles. Is that almost what this was like? They just kind of spit you out into the world and the two of you are engaged, but did you like know where to go? Did you guys hang out? Like, what happens when you don't go to Mexico but you're now engaged?
Yeah, I think it's more intense than that because the pod experience was really profound. And I spent, about the year since just really like journaling a lot and kind of trying to figure out what the heck just happened to us. And,
right.
And you know, Janina might be able to attest to this, but I think everyone had a very major shift inside themselves that was really hard to understand. So you have that on top of the fact that, you know, we just got spit out and let go, and they kind of just gave us our phones back, and then we were just back in the real world. And it was almost like this, you know, different reality where you don't, you know, there was a hurricane that was going on during the filming, and we didn't know because we had no TVs, no radio, no phones, right? We were just on this island living life somewhere. And so it was kind of shocking. And I had budgeted time for, you know, if I did get engaged or if I didn't. And I just, you know, when we got back, it was, we just needed to go somewhere. I think that's why the Mexico trip was so valuable for the couples, is that kind of having that time to just recharge after was important. So Danielle and I ended up we took a same day trip to Miami, and we just stayed there for like 4 or 5 days, sitting on the beach and going out at night and just kind of, you know, getting back into real life human being form, you know?
So going back to like that time frame that you were journaling and, you know, you're trying to figure out what happened within us. I know we've talked about this a couple of times, but I feel like in the pods, I became this philosopher, right? Where I was trying to just dissect everything and figure out like what is happening you know, mentally, spiritually. And I feel like we need to come up with a term for this, Rory, because seriously, like that whole, I mean, I had epiphanies. I told you about this. So it's just like,
the
stars were aligning. What did you come up with anything, or did you come through like a breakthrough of like what it is that we went through?
Yeah. So there, you know, I ended this in my other interview, but I think that there's a, in the simplest terms that I can muster and the simplest way I can put it, I think that there was like two or three major processes going on. I think, you know, and there's a lot of ingredients that had to be present for this, you know, awakening to happen in all of us. The first was that I think every single person that went to the facility wanted to find someone, right? There was a drive there to not be alone, not to be single, and to find your person, to find your partner in crime. And so that was the carrot on the stick that we were all kind of fighting for. It's like, you know, okay, we do actually want this. And what happens is when you're in that facility, right, and you actually take away your phone, your any distractions, pets, work, responsibilities. We all took time off from work and we had nowhere to go, nowhere to be. No one relied on us for anything. You're sitting in that silence and you start to be able to tune into the parts of you that you ignore, right? The way you're feeling, the way you're thinking. And the longer you sit in that silence, you get to a point where you can't really run from it anymore. There's no normally I think this happens on a day-to-day basis for almost every person on the planet, where you start to feel uncomfortable or you feel anxious or you feel worried. You go to social media or you turn on Netflix or you go out for
the night.
You distract
yourself.
It's very easy to distract yourself 24/7 in 2020 because there's a million different ways to do it. And so when you ever have that feeling of, I don't feel good, something's wrong inside of me, you distract yourself instead of dealing with it. And I think what happened to most of us is we couldn't distract ourselves anymore. We had to just sit there and stare at them and look, okay, I'm feeling this way or I'm feeling that way. What's going on? Oh my God, I can't run from it. And so I think as time went on, we all started succumbing to that. Some of us, you know, didn't realize what was happening until later or after, or maybe talking to other people and seeing that they were going through the same thing helped. But it was just this, you had the camaraderie of your same gender lounge, right? The girls had the girls to lean on and the guys had the guys to lean on. And you kept going to these dates where you're with someone on the other side of the wall that is opening up to the same level you are. And it's almost like this rally, right? In sports where you just like you toss it over by being vulnerable and they get vulnerable back and you keep tossing back and forth. And eventually you're just hearing and feeling things that you didn't even realize were part of you. And there's also, you know, there's a good deal amount of posturing that happen in real life, right? So when you're in a professional setting, you're standing up taller and you're working on your diction and your vocabulary, you're trying to say the right things or use the right words. You're when you go to a restaurant, you make sure you're sitting properly or you pick the right table. There's always some array of things that you're trying to nail that are socially acceptable and social pressures that are coming down on you. But when you're in a soundproof booth by yourself with nothing going on, you don't worry about that. A lot of us ended up laying on the couch or leaning up against the wall or sitting on the floor. And you start to listen to yourself as you're connecting with someone. And you start to realize that you're part of the conversation too. And I don't think a lot of people have this nowadays where you're talking to someone and you're kind of thinking about what you're going to say next or where you're sitting or what you're doing, and you're not even listening to how that person is affecting you emotionally and mentally, right? And since you start tuning into that, you really start connecting to them. You're like, holy crap, what she just said makes sense to me, or oh my God, that makes me smile, or that makes me laugh,
the
right?
So I feel sense. Like,
yeah, it's like this real line. It's almost like you get to realign with the person you've always wanted to be, right? It's like you see the deviations that you've made over time for social pressures, but when that fades away, you can say, oh my God, I actually really do. And I think a lot of us change jobs after it. Because we're like, oh,
you become your
I remember
self.
What I wanted.
Yep.
Yeah, you realign yourself because you don't have the distractions that prevent you from doing that.
But is it also, it's interesting here and then now I understand why so many people talk to Rory, because we can just sit and listen to him speak for five. It's the longest answer to a question ever. But it's fascinating because I almost wonder if, is it your true self or are you manufacturing something because you're in this experiment? It's not the real world. There are always outside influences that are going to be exerted upon you. So it's almost like you're an alternate form of yourself in a controlled environment that you'll probably never experience again, right?
For me, sorry, Rory, you can answer this too, but for me, it was like I was my innate self. I was the self that I am in a closed room when no one's looking at me, when the things that I think in my head without any outside pressure or judgment. Like I went back to like my poems and my written word. And that's why people are like, you spoke in riddles. It's because that's how I talk in my head. So I think that's how that came across physically, because that was my innate true self. And I didn't have anything to distract me from that. I don't know about you.
Mm-hmm. You as well, Rory?
No. So I think, no. I think it's actually the reverse. No, I agree with TJ. I'm saying, okay. The original question, yeah. I think it's actually the reverse, because it was a controlled environment, but I think it's because it was free of pressures, you were able to kind of allow yourself to feel, and you know, it's 24 hours a day, right? So as soon as you have a breakthrough or a wall comes down or you have some vulnerability, you kind of, that's the new baseline, right? You don't get the chance to reset. And so I could definitely see the impression of, you know, it's obviously an island that can't be real, but I mean, think of, like, use this as an example, right? So like when I go and do business in Japan, I'm going to, you know, like wear a button down and tuck it in and wear a belt because that's culturally acceptable right there. Like that's how you envelop yourself in the culture. And I think the problem with nowadays is every single part of your life is something that's being measured, right? Your Instagram posts, your social media, how you have your home, what you eat for dinner, when you go to bed, when you wake up, how many times you go to the gym, right? Like all that's being measured all the time. And I think because you're so, you get into this point where you're just like a ball of rubber bands, just tightly wound. You're not sure what's going on. Where in this experiment, no one was expecting you to do anything. Mm-hmm. You were just there, mm-hmm. existing, being yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think it is, obviously you can't be that all the time, because you know, when you go to a business meeting or you go to a restaurant or whatever, there are expectations of you as a person in those scenarios. But I think that if you string too many of those scenarios together where you never have a moment to stop and remember who you are, you forget.
Does it make it a challenge, you think, for the relationship on when you re-enter the world that we have to live in, because it's nothing like the world in which you fell in love and got engaged? I would assume that's a hell of a challenge for that relationship to continue.
Totally. Yeah. And I think that's kind of, I mean, you nailed the premise of the show too, and why it was interesting to watch. And obviously since Giannina went on, she can probably, you know, speak more to this, but just, I think that I have to believe that what Love is Blind was trying to figure out is why people aren't connecting as much anymore. Why does everyone on every dating app, but hating it and hating themselves and finding no one, right? Like, why is that such a challenge now? Whereas, you know, 50 years ago in the nuclear family era, you met your home girl in your hometown and you were married after high school and everything was great forever, right?
Right.
So like, what changed? What made that so much more difficult? Mm-hmm. And I think that this show has shown and proven that if you can never be vulnerable with anyone because you're always afraid or you're worried that you're going to come off wrong, you're never going to make that deep emotional connection. And once that connection's made, yes, you're going to have to posture with each other's families or out in the real world, or you're going to have times where you're fighting and arguing. Yes, that's part of it. But I think that if you don't have that underlying foundation of why you like each other and why you admire each other, then it's not going to survive anyway.
So if you reinsert yourself into the world, like you said, you're going to Japan for business and stuff, how much of the Rory that you had on the inside still exists now, 18 months later?
Most of it. Now, obviously, you know, some of the topics that we're talking about here, and I've had some interviews where, you know, people are like, wait, what? And it just feels heavy. I obviously minimize that in casual conversation because I'm not going to just drop bombs everywhere I go.
But, right.
but it's still there. And I think that, you know, dates since the show have been so much easier, right? Because I can tell when we're not having pod talk, and I don't like it when it's not pod talk. It's like, hey, what college did you go to? What car do you drive?
Yeah.
Right?
Pod
What's your
talk
favorite
is
shirt?
The, is like, all the good stuff.
Meaningless.
Yeah.
And the pod talk is like, no, like, you know, like, what does sex mean to you? Mm-hmm. Do you like childhood memories? How do you feel about your mom? How do you feel about your dad? Like, what happened with your last relationship? Mm-hmm. Like, things that you're scared to ask because you're scared about like scaring them away in normal conversation. You realize that, you know, and that's what was so great about the pods is you would be vulnerable and say like, okay, today we're going to talk about sex, and you don't really want to bring that up on a first date normally, but hey, we should probably talk about it. And then you realize that when you bring it up and you talk about it, you both feel better afterwards because you were willing to have that short-term conflict to talk about something serious that led to long-term bonding.
What was the longest you spent in a pod and what was the short? Because I'm guessing you had to have a marathon. And what was the shortest amount of time you had in a pod?
The first day we did speed dating, and I believe those were 15 minutes each, but you had to see all 15 people the whole day. So it kind of was like back and forth, back and forth.
I thought it was seven.
Was it 7 minutes?
Seven minutes.
I thought it was
15. I think the second date was 15.
They gave Rory 15.
Right?
They were like, there's no way this guy is doing it to seven. And did you do like a 10-hour marathon?
No, I mean, I think the longest one I was in was like 2.5 hours or 3 hours. I don't know.
What? I feel like I was in there for like 8 hours, dude.
But you said every 15 minutes felt like a year, right?
So last thing for me, Roy, is like, I feel like I was in there for a year after the 9 days.
There was this weird time dilation where you just don't know how much time has passed. Mm-hmm. And some of that's like, we weren't seeing clocks or phones or TVs or like we just
or
don't
sunlight,
know what's going on,
right. You know,
or sunlight or anything. Yeah. And I think partially too, when you're going through some really intense emotional baggage and you're kind of processing that and going through it, it can definitely make time feel like it's going longer. And it's also just, you know, you see what we saw on the show in the final edit, but it's not like everyone had one, you know, love interest and that was it. It's like we were making connections and losing them constantly. So there's a lot to think about as you're going through this.
All right. Before we get into time space continuums and time is a flat circle.
It is.
Let's get one thing. We do this with everyone, Roy. So we want you to play Love is Blind or Hard Pass. And I'm going to go through six things and you can only pass once for things you are looking for in a partner. So remember, you can only do one pass and that's it. So I'm going to read all six, and then you will give us the one that you will give the hard pass. So I'm going to go one at a time.
One at a time.
Here we go. Laughs like Janice from Friends.
Oh, man. All right, Love is Blind.
Okay. All right, here we go. Owns snakes or reptiles?
Love is Blind.
Okay. Tons of debt, like BK level debt.
Ooh. How many digits are we talking?
let's say mid five digits.
that's not that bad. Love is Blind.
Okay,
that's
there fine. We go. Someone who wants to be in an open relationship.
Ooh, pass.
Okay, there it is. So the other ones I have left, and I'll let you change if you want. Bad in bed.
Ooh. But that's a skill thing. Like, we can practice.
See, there you go.
Ooh,
okay.
See?
Exactly right. And then finally, girls with hairy armpits.
Like you can she shave, just, man.
No, but she
that's
won't.
Fixable.
But
all
she won't.
Fixable.
She, like,
oh, she won't.
She won't.
She likes
she
some
won't.
Hairy.
She likes
but
some hairy.
Is it like, so like if she's wearing a sundress, is it peeking out?
A little bit.
It's like yours, Roy. They look like yours. They're full
I
on.
I shave mine, so I don't
Yo, I went through 3 months without shaving, so.
All right, so it looks like open relationship seemed to be the right answer there. Roy, totally. This was fantastic. It is certainly easy through just the short conversation we had why you were featured in the manner you were in the first episode, and everybody was confiding in you, and you were talking them through, like you said, what was I'm certain was a wild and different emotional set of feelings and experiences that I've got to believe were just crazy over those 9 days.
You're the heart of the
really
pod
was.
Squad,
yeah.
Roy.
There we go.
Oh,
the pod squad.
You.
Is that what you call yourself?
We call the pod squad.
All right.
Yeah.
Pod squad, yeah.
Thank you, Rory.
Thank you so much.
Subscribe to Love Insight on iHeartRadio or however you get your podcasts.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.